Okay, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear God and Father, we're here today once again to come to you and worship you. Lord, we just love to hear from you and love for you to give us direction in our lives. We can't do it on our own. So we thank you so much that we know that when we gather together like this, you will be with us. Your Holy Spirit will be here ministering to us and telling us what to glean from your word. We thank you so much for being here this morning and allowing us to come together like this. So, Father, as I read from your word and give this message, I just ask that you would speak through me. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is something that we don't, we say, we talk about it, but I don't know that we ever really know what it is. And the fear of God. What is the fear of God? And to start out, I want to read three scriptures. And one is Psalm 55:19. It says, men who never change and have no fear, men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. It talks about people don't change when they don't have fear of God. Psalm 36:1, it talks, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then the third scripture I want to read is Romans. It says, there is no righteous, no one righteous, not even one. It was talking about, he was talking to the Romans, you know, and at the time, you know, he was talking about people that were not saved. It says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. If you notice, there's a pattern. People that don't fear God typically don't follow God. And is the fear of God important? One, and two, what is the fear of God? I want to touch on both of them a little bit. Because we understand fear the way we know it, but is the way we understand the word fear the same way the Bible's talking about it? So is the fear of God important? Well, let's read Ecclesiastes 12:13. It'll tell us. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, I'd say God puts it pretty high up there as to us fearing him. And I would say it's pretty important. So I want to read another verse in 1 John 4:18, and it's going to kind of throw us a little curve there for a second, but then I'm going to hopefully explain it. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So when you read that and then you read about the fear of God, you're wondering, oh, wait a minute, if we got a contradiction going on here, how can we fear God, but it says that there is no fear in love? Well, there is no fear in love. Love is made perfect, and God is love. But how do the two work together? And that's what I want to explain. It says in 1 Peter 1:17, since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And it's bringing that up over and over. And the best thing I can do is, I thought, let's see what other people say, how they interpret this. I mean, I know how I interpret the fear of God, but I just want to kind of share with you a little bit how some other people have interpreted this. And if you just go to a straight dictionary, here's the interpretation of fear. It says, this word has two principal meanings. That apprehension of evil that normally leads one either to flee or to fight. That's the fear that we're used to talking about. I mean, when we talk about being fearful. You know, it means we're scared of something. We're scared of a dog, might be scared of the dark. I mean, we're real used to that interpretation of fear. But it says there's another interpretation. It says the awe and reverence felt in the presence of a higher authority. Now, I think we're starting to get a little bit closer to what the fear of God is. But that in itself, I don't think, explains it quite deep enough. So I wanted to just read, I checked several different commentaries just to see what they would tell us. I even found the Catholic Encyclopedia, for instance. This is what it says. It fills us with a sovereign respect for God. It makes us dread above all things to offend Him. Wow. Do we live our lives that way? Are we worried about offending God? Are we worried about doing wrong? I can't answer it. You know, everybody has to look at their own heart and see where they're at. And C.S. Lewis, who's a very well-respected scholar, this is how he interprets it. It is one filled with awe, in which you feel wonder and a certain shrinking, or a sense of inadequacy to cope with such a visitant or prostration. Wow. Before it. It is a fear that comes forth out of love for the Lord. And then Robert Strimble, this is the way he puts it. He says, there is a convergence of awe, reverence, adoration, honor, worship, confidence, thankfulness, love, and yes, fear. That's what the fear of the Lord is. So are we supposed to run around and be scared of God all the time? No, we're not supposed to do that. But we are supposed to realize who He is. I mean, He made all this. He made the world. I mean, He created the world. He spoke and the universe leapt into existence. This God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to this world, because there was no way that we could be righteous to where we could be with Him. So He sent Jesus into the world to pay for our sins and die on the cross. And He rose 3 days later and is now in heaven. Now, a God that can do all that and is willing to do all that, I believe, yes, we owe Him reverence. I believe we owe Him respect. We owe Him a whole bunch of things. And, yeah, we ought to probably fear Him a little bit. I mean, that ought to kind of fit in there, too. We ought to worry about how we act and behave. You know, so many times anymore, there's a lot of people that claim to know Jesus. And there's churches all over the place, you know. And there's programs on TV where they're trying to interpret the Bible for us, and they put their own twist and spin on it and just tell us the way they think they want it to be. But when you really listen to a lot of these people, they have no fear of God. They just, hey, this is just the way it is. You know, no big deal. I want to read another little deal here that I've found in a commentary. It says, there are people today that say the word fear really means respect. And that's what you get. I mean, you really get that from a lot of people. And that's not what the Bible's talking about. So, let's look at what the lack of fear of the Lord looks like. What does that look like? I mean, how can you recognize that you have the lack of fear? The person sins lightly. I mean, do you just sin and it doesn't bother you at all? You don't care that you're not doing what God asks you to do? That'd be one thing. And it's either shameless or indifferent when confronted with sin, when you talk to people. Now, there's God put in our heart right from wrong. Even without knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we do know right from wrong. God put it in us. People do know right from wrong. But there's people that are saved that you see them and you see how they're living, and it's like, are you sure that's right? Now, we all do that to a certain degree. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes every day, and there's things I do that aren't right. But does it bother us when we do that? That's the big question. when we, you know, a lot of us usually have one area in our life that we really struggle with. It's that sin that just doesn't seem to go away. You know it's wrong. You know you shouldn't do it, but it's still there. And are you at a point where that doesn't bother you anymore? Or does it bother you and you go to the Lord every morning and go, Lord, I did it again, but man, I'm sorry. That would be fear of the Lord. But when you get to a point where you don't care anymore, I think you'd lost the fear of the Lord. It is a type of superficial respect to God that does not affect how anyone lives. That's the way a lot of people see the fear of the Lord. And that's not what he's looking for. But this last sentence I want to read here is the person sins carelessly, obstinately, persistently, and is unconcerned with being offensive to God. Do we know any people like that? I do. I mean, I know a lot of them. And I know even people that call themselves followers of Jesus that are like that. And that's kind of scary, because that's the kind of people, you know, you hear a lot of people say, once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved and you will never lose your salvation, and there's nothing you can do to get away from God. And that is true. You cannot outrun God. But if you're living to where you really don't care and you don't have a little bit of that fear in you, I think you need to look in the mirror and re-examine yourself. And I know this is not a feel-good message. A lot of people, you know, they want to hear the stuff that makes them feel good. And when you start talking about stuff like this, they don't really like it. So I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to speak truth. But I also want to talk about what the fear of the Lord does look like. Now, we already talked about what it doesn't, people that don't have the fear of the Lord, what they look like. Now let's talk about how people that have it, what they look like. And I'll use Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Basically what we said. If you're doing wrong, sinning, God considers evil. So if you're doing wrong and you hate it, you're already on the right track. Let's read Proverbs 16:6. It says, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Having a little bit of that scaredness, a little bit of fear, knowing that God is who he is and how awesome and how great he is, but yeah, that he can come down and he disciplines his children. You know, and my boy, when he was a little kid, there was times he got spankings. I still believed in that and still do. But if he got in trouble, he was punished. A lot of times it wasn't punishment because you wanted to be mean to him because he did it, but it was correction. That way, hopefully, the next time he's just a little bit scared of doing that and he won't do it no more. And that's the same thing with God. So a little bit of, you know, I don't know what God's going to do with me when I do this. A little bit of that is really not a bad thing to have. But it can't overpower our love for him, because he is a God of love, and that's what we need to concentrate on. But that's why, you know, the way the commentators they were talking about earlier, it is one filled with awe in which you feel wonder and a certain shrinking, a sense of inadequacy to cope with such a visitant of the prostration before it. It is a fear that comes forth out of love for the Lord. So we love him so much and we're so worried about pleasing him that we do our very best. That's basically it. But let me talk a little bit more about what the fear of the Lord would look like. It is the disposition to hate to sin. In other words, you don't really want to sin. You want to move away from sin. In other words, perfect example, I was talking to my wife, you know, the other day, and she was talking about going to a party that she was invited to, and she goes, I don't really feel like going because I don't know there'll be stuff going on that I disapprove of. Whether it was right or wrong, we don't even want to go there. But she, in her mind, it wasn't a kind of party that she should be at. Well, best way to not get into that situation is not go. And that's what she did. She didn't go. Then you've got the person will not disobey God regardless of the consequences. Here's a tough one. Do we fear God enough to not disobey Him regardless of consequences? That's people at work, you know, that nowadays you aren't allowed to talk about Jesus a lot of places. So, you know, people are told not to say stuff. And but will it change your behavior? And I don't think it should. And that's where, do you love God enough to not change your behavior for others? That's a good question. And then it will seek to know God's will and follow after Him. That's the fear of the Lord. You want to know what He wants for you. You know, what does God want for you? Well, it's like doing motocross. You ride motocross, you learn how to do it. You ask people, you have instructors, you watch videos. I mean, you go to great lengths in knowing how to get around the track and do a good job at it. Well, that's how following Jesus is. We should get out the Bible, study it. We should meet with other Christians and sit down and talk about it and discuss it. And all that draws us closer to Him. And that's a sign of the fear of the Lord, because we're wanting to please Him. It loves instruction in holiness and the knowledge of God, of His way and of His pleasure. In other words, you put God first, and you want to make sure that you're living your life the way you intended, He intended for you. Do you have the fear of the Lord? I don't know. But one thing that's great about the God we serve is you can change. He forgives. His mercies are new every day. It doesn't matter how far away from the path we stray. And I used to refuse this before. It's kind of like being in a rowboat. You're in a rowboat and you're tied to a dock. Just picture yourself. You're tied to Jesus. And you just stay right there. But then somebody unties the line. It's probably yourself. You know, I myself accidentally untied. I'm sitting there in the boat, and if I ain't plugged into God and I'm not looking at pleasing Him, this is what happens. That boat just kind of drifts all by itself. Next thing you know, it's clear out there in the middle of the pond, and the dock's way over here, and you're like, man, how did I get here? Well, that's what happens to us. We kind of get to drifting because the cares of life kind of keep us busy and stuff. So we need to turn back and draw close to Him. And every morning His mercies are new, just like I said, and that's the great part. So examine yourself, look at yourself, make sure that when you say you're following Jesus, you're following Him the way He intended. Make sure you are where you need to be. And if not, make a U-turn. Remember, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for any sin that you could ever have committed, commit right now, or will ever commit. He paid that price. And all you have to do is receive Him as your Savior and know that He did that. And after He died, He rose 3 days later, and He's now in heaven preparing a place for us that we can be there with Him someday. And that's what I want you all to take home. Don't look at the fear of the Lord as something to be scared of, but look at it just the way that some of these commentators talked and the way I tried to explain it. I hope I did a good job at it. But like I said, a little bit of fear doesn't hurt a thing, because it does help us to stay on the straight and narrow path where we need to stay. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we love You so much. We want to please You. We want to serve You. And most of all, we just want our lives to be better. Following You, we all love it. We love what it's going to do for us. And you know, eventually, we're going to go to heaven. That's great. But this here and now is what we struggle with. And You talk about us having the fear of the Lord, and that's what we need to stay on the straight and narrow sometime. So I ask right now that every person here that's within earshot of this message, that You would minister to them and show them where and what areas they need to make changes and what areas they need to draw closer to You. And if they've lost their fear of You, remind them of what it is, to where it helps them to draw closer to you again where they need to be. We just thank you so much. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for everything he did for us, and we just love you. Father, as we get ready to go racing, we just thank you for this beautiful day. The people here at the track, we thank them for allowing us to be here and do this, and for all the hard work they're putting into this to make it a great event. We just thank you so much for that. So, Lord, let everybody be safe. Let everybody have a good time. And as always, let's do it for your glory and not ours. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.